Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 42, A Mother's Worry, A Mother's Pride.
Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. And this is it. This is the one.
What do you mean?
Well, this is the... Oh, can we have one of your drum rolls, please?
What?
Just play
okay,
a drum roll.
Okay, go again.
Okay. This is the final episode in the story of Pwyll, Prince of Dyfed, the first branch of the Mabinogi. The next story will be the second branch, the story of Branwen. But before that, let's make a start with the contact details.
If you'd like to send us a message or some feedback, drop us a line at garyandruth@celticmythpodshow.com or give us a ring on 001-206-666-3775.
I kind of want to put that to music.
Yeah.
I want to go 001-206-666-3, well, you know, all that stuff. I want to do something. I want to sing it. I want to jingle it. Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Give us a ring on and Ruth's going to do a jingle for you. Come on, sing it. What's our phone number? 001-206-666-3775.
No, you see, it's terrible. We can't sing
jingles.
Yeah,
okay, it doesn't work, does it?
You just, jingles aren't your thing.
No,
right.
All right, you're right. They're not, are they? No, anyway, that's 001-206-666-3775.
You can also have a look at the show notes for this episode at shownotes.celticmythpodshow.com because they'll tell you about the episode you're listening to.
If you pop along to the website, you can see how all the Welsh names actually look written down and find out all of the sources and references we've used in making this show.
Mm. So have we got any news and views?
Yes, we have. Wonderful news, really. We'd like to welcome all of the new listeners who have just joined us.
Yes, welcome to you all. It's really nice to have you aboard.
It is. Do you know, I was thinking it might be worth quickly running through what it is we do and how they can best find their way around the show.
Okay, that's a great idea. Shall I make a start?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so far we've told the stories from the Irish mythological cycle. That's the earliest Irish stories. Now, with this show, we finish the first story or branch of the Welsh Mabinogion, or Mabinogi as it's properly called.
Yep. You can begin the Irish stories with episode 1, which is called Gods in the Mist, and the Welsh Mabinogi with episode 30, Restless Dreams. You'll also find some special shows sprinkled among that lot that include modern stories, music and poetry, and some interviews.
And they're labelled SP11, SP12, and so on. So instead of just a number, you'll have an SP in front of it. So that's how you tell the difference.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
There's also a help page on our website that'll take you through everything. So if you get stuck, have a look at that. But for now, it's time for the story.
I think you're right.
Okay, so tell us what happened last time.
In our last episode, Tiernan, Lord of the Raging Sea, has an encounter with some kind of monster and rescues a newly born colt from its clutches. Tiernan spots a baby wrapped in silk and linens on the floor and ushers his men away before they see it, and then takes the child to his wife. They decide to raise the child as their own and name him Guri of the Golden Hair. Pwych and Rhiannon are overjoyed for the couple, but sadly, Rhiannon begins to worry even more than before. news of the wondrous birth of Gwrhyr the Golden Hare reached the ears of Pwyll's court in Dyfed. He and Rhiannon were overjoyed and sent gifts to the prince's loyal old friend Tiernan in congratulation. Rhiannon resumed her place at the mounting block once the daylight came round again, and the tidings of the new babe tempted her mind into racing faster and faster about the events on that night so many moons ago. She remembered with stark clarity the blood, the bones, and the fear on the faces of her ladies. What if, against all nature, against all reason, something unknown had slipped into her mind as she had become mortal? In losing so many of her memories, what if she'd also lost some part of herself? A part that had kept her sane? What if she'd lost her mind? And what if she really had eaten her own child? This creeping malady grew on her daily, and she became so wan and pale that her skin became almost translucent with the worry. Pwyll watched his wife with growing concern. Even some of the druids began to regret the harshness of their judgment, while others still felt it to be too lenient for such a crime that was so far beyond belief. In her darker moments, Rhiannon found herself wondering whether they were indeed correct. In her lighter moments, her only joy was to spend time at the gates of Arberth with the horses she so loved. All of this was unknown to Tiernan and his wife, however, and they had their hands full with the astounding growth of their young babe. The toddling Gwrhyr stayed with his mother in the Gwent court until he was a year old, and by the end of that time, he was walking strongly and steadily and getting under everybody's feet. He was also as strong as a much larger three-year-old. After another year, he had grown much taller and was as strong as a six-year-old boy. And before the end of his fourth year, he was strong and eloquent and making deals with the stable hands to be allowed to lead the horses down to the water to drink. As the time of his fourth birthday approached, Gwrhyr's mother was inspired with an idea for a gift for her son. She leant over towards Tiernan at meat that evening.
"My lord, what happened to that court you saved on the night that you found our child?"
"I commanded the grooms and stable hands to take care of the court, and he has grown into a fine, strong stallion."
"Would it not be a good idea, my lord, if you were to cause him to be broken in and to be given to the boy? Is that the age that children learn to ride? And it seems to me fitting that it was on the same night that you found Woolly that the court was formed. And indeed, you were the one who saved his life."
"You're right. I will not argue against you on this. It's a good idea. In fact, my love, I suggest that you gift him with the colt."
"May the gods bless you, my lord. It would give me great pleasure to give it to him. You would think it wonderful."
And so, as the birthday celebrations unfurled, Gwrhyr's mother had the horse brought before the young boy and given to him. He knew the stallion well, of course, and yet never in all of his young dreams had he expected to be the owner of one of the finest beasts in his father's stable. His mother went to each of the grooms, and all of those who tended the horses in turn, and commanded them to treat the horse with great care and love, so that he would be gently broken for the boy to ride. As soon as the groom said that he could ride the horse, he was often seen astride the stallion in the paddocks, taking lessons with his little legs spread across the horse's broad back. Many wondered at the gentleness of the stallion towards the young lad, and the stories grew in the telling. As his fifth birthday approached, Gwrhyr was as tall and strong as a teenager and handled the stallion, Cefeilir, proudly and well, sitting high in the saddle. Tiernan sat by the well, watching his son ride by and practicing his skills. He watched the concentration on the boy's noble brows, and a memory suddenly surfaced in his mind of another very, very similar face. A disturbing thought crept into his mind. Each time new visitors came to their court, he and his wife listened carefully for news of Rhiannon and her punishment, until they began to hear of the horrible state that she was in, how the punishment had brought her to such a state of wretchedness. Tiernan made many discreet inquiries, and he reflected long and hard on these, watching his son even more closely. He began to realize that never had he seen a father and son so much alike as this boy and Puig, the Prince of Anuun. He had fought alongside Puig for many seasons and knew his likeness as he knew the back of his own hand. He became racked with guilt about how wrong it was to keep another man's son away from him and to allow Rhiannon to suffer such indignities and such fears when the boy was safe and well in his care. That night, as he and his wife lay together in the privacy of his chamber, he spoke to her about his fears.
Duno, it's not right for us to keep another man's son and heir. As a mother and noble woman yourself, think of the suffering that the poor Queen Rhiannon is going through. It is wrong for us to let her suffer when we can do something about it.
You are right. Though it breaks my heart to say it, we should send the boy back to Puig. But look at the bright side, my lord. We shall get three things as a result of that.
What on earth are you thinking about?
Well, we shall receive the thanks and gratitude from Rhiannon for releasing her from her punishment. And also the thanks of the Prince of Davin for rearing the boy and restoring him. Thirdly, if the boy proves to be a considerate man, and from what we know of him, that is likely, then he will be our foster son, and will always do his best for us and for Gwent.
Oh, those are some sound reasons and some good thinking, my lady. So, we're decided, are we? We'll travel to Arbeth?
Yes, my lord. Let's do it tomorrow. And we probably arrive in time for the celebrations of Calan Mai.
So the very next day, Tiernan, his son, and two other knights travelled to Arbeth. Guri sat tall on the back of Kefilair, the prancing golden steed, and all who saw him marvelled at the sight. And before long, they rode up to the gates of Arbeth, and they all saw Rhiannon sitting next to the mounting block. A great sadness crept over them as they drew nearer to her. She stood and said to them,
"Noble chieftain, please wait there. You cannot continue into Arbeth like this. I will carry each of you up to the castle, for that is my punishment for slaying and eating my own son."
"Oh, most fair lady, not for one moment let yourself believe that I will allow myself to be carried on your back."
"Neither will I,"
declared the young boy stubbornly.
"In faith, we will not proceed in that fashion."
So Rhiannon walked beside them to escort them into the castle. And there was great joy amongst the knights to see their old comrade Tiernan once more. A great feast was being prepared, as Puig was expected back that evening from the furthest extents of Dyved. And as the dusk settled over the hall, and the scent of the spring flowers strewn over the columns and in the hallways was filling the air, the spirit of Calan Mai began to lift them all, and the young boy felt excited by his presence in the noble assembly, excited that he was finally about to meet the Lord Puig, and also excited that his birthday was to be spent at the court of Arbeth. When they were told that they could enter, Tiernan led the party into the great hall, and they all washed their hands and had their feet washed before approaching the top table. As he followed his father, Tiernan, Guri sneaked sidelong looks at their noble host as he relaxed in his throne next to the pale lady, Rhiannon. As they walked in, Puig stood, a broad smile spreading rapidly across his face, and his arms spread wide. He came round the top table and stepped off the dais to clasp Tiernan warmly, leading them all up to the top table to sit with him and Rhiannon. He placed Tiernan between Rhiannon and himself, and the two knights to his left side, with the young boy sitting between them. After meat, as the minstrels began to gently play, they spoke of tidings from Dyved and from Gwent, and they sang many a drinking song from their old times together under the trees in the field. Eventually, however, Tiernan began to tell the tale of the strange fate that had been befalling his prize mare each year at Beltane, and how he had rescued the colt, and more importantly, the discovery of the boy child. He talked long about the life that the boy had had, and how he and his wife had reared the boy and taught him all the courtly arts and manners. And finally, he asked the boy to stand so that all could see him. He turned to Rhiannon then.
My lady, this is your son?
It cannot be.
Whoever told these falsehoods about you did you great wrong. When we heard of your fate and your punishment, I was deeply saddened, and I grieve. We came here immediately to bring your long-lost child back to you.
Here he stood, paused, and looked at each and every person in the great hall. He saw all of the colour drain from Rhiannon's beautiful face.
Look at the child, and now look at our lord. I cannot imagine that anyone in this noble host can doubt that this boy is the son of Pwych, Prince of Annwn.
It is true, no one doubts it. I can hardly believe it. Before all the gods, I would be delivered of my worry if this is true.
I see the truth of it, lady. And you have named your son well, for in our mother tongue we call worry Pryderi. So Pryderi, son of Pwych Penanun, suits him very well indeed.
Perhaps his given name suits him better, Penanun.
Tell me, noble guests, what is his name?
We called him Guri Gwalldoeren, Guri of the Golden Hair.
A fine name for a youth. But as a man, the name Pryderi shall better fit his fate. Thus shall the Druid Council be well satisfied with the boy.
I agree. It is most fitting that the boy's name be taken from the word his mother uttered when she first received the joyous news about him.
Then so shall it be, my lords.
Tiernan, my noble friend and brother. May the gods reward you for looking after my child these long years, and for freeing his mother from her humiliation. It is fitting that as the boy is from a noble line, that he repay you for your kindness.
My lord, let us not forget that it was in truth my wife who nursed him, and there is no one in the whole world in as much pain as she at parting with him. Indeed, it would be well that he keep in mind what both I and my wife have done for him.
Then I shall swear before the gods that while I live, I will support you and your holdings for as long as I am able to support my own. And when he has power and lands of his own, he will be better suited to maintain them than I.
Few noticed. Pendalan stepped forward slightly and nod his head gently at Pwych. But Pwych did notice, and seemingly resigned to some unknown fate, turned once again to Tiernan.
If this counsel be pleasing to you, and to my court, then I shall decree that as you have reared him up until this time, my son shall now pass into the care of our chief druid. The boy will be his foster son for his continued proper education. So you two shall be friends, and you shall both be foster fathers to the boy.
That is excellent counsel, my lord. My wife will be overjoyed at the news.
A wise decision, my lord. The High Council will be most pleased.
I think all are agreed on that, my lord.
The celebrations went on throughout the night and long into the next day. The boy Guri, now getting used to his new name of Pryderi, gently slid under the top table as the dawn broke through the high windows. He laid his head on a foot cushion, cuddled up next to one of the sleeping wolfhounds. When the sun was high in the sky, he was gently woken by one of the maids, handed a bowl to wash in and broke his fast with bread and honey. And then after gently hugging his sleeping father and staring in awe at his real father, Pwych,
who still sat snoring in his throne. Pryderi headed off, cup in hand, into the castle in search of Pendaran. Pendaran and those nobles and princes who were allied to the druid greeted him warmly and helped him pack Kefilair for the journey. All of those knights quickly made friends with this golden-haired youth, so full of life and joy. As for Terran on Turf Leant, he and his companions set off for Gwent with offers from both Pwych and Rhiannon of all the best gifts they could find. They offered him horses, fine jewels, and the most highly prized dogs. But his heart was so full of love and joy that he declared that they had all been given gifts enough and would accept nothing more. They each stayed in their own realms after that for many years. Pryderi, the son of Pwych Penanun, was brought up carefully, as was right and proper, until he was the most handsome young man, the most skilled at every worthy feat in the kingdom, and all looked up to him. He visited Pwych often and grew to love the aging old man. Rhiannon never seemed to fully recover from whatever sickness had befallen her at the mounting block, but she always shone with fresh light at Pryderi's visits and spent many long hours with him telling him tales of the ancient fae. He also visited Terranon when he could, although that old worthy never seemed to add any extra wrinkles to his face, and his beard grew no longer. Sadly, his wife had crossed into the Summerlands some years before, and Pryderi learnt from the sadness in Terranon's eyes the true value of a steadfast woman at his side, although it was to be many years until he found one for himself. And so the long years passed, until the lady's calling came to Pwych Penanun, and he also made the journey into the Summerlands, passing from the much-loved mountains and valleys of Dyved into the glorious sunshine. There he would sing with the ever-young and spend long, long hours in deep converse with his ancestors. So it fell unto Pryderi to move into Arberth and take up the duty of care for the seven cantrevs of Dyved. And after all his tuition, he did this with great success. All of his realm and those that bordered onto it loved him greatly, so much so that his foster kin, his true companions, expanded greatly, and he added by blood and conquest the three cantrevs of Ystrad Tewi and the four cantrevs of Ceredigion to his realm, and these were called the seven cantrevs of Saisaluch. At the end of his campaign, he rested in the halls of Arberth, close to the hollow hills of Bryn Caere from which his mother emerged, and she was much heartened to see him safe from danger and enjoying the pleasures of court. But one more challenge awaited the young Pryderi before this story can draw to a close, and that was to win the heart of Kigva, the daughter of Gwyn Gohoyu, the son of Gloyu Walsladan, the son of Kaznar Uledig, a renowned lineage from a much-respected prince in the provinces to the east. How he won her heart is another tale, a tale that has been lost in the swirling mists of the years. But win it he did, and he took her to be his wife. They had that rare joy and true love that Pryderi had sinned both in the lives of Terranon and his wife, as well as that of Pwych and his fey mother, Rhiannon. With a ceremony that was visited by all of the princes in the land, we reach the end of this mighty first branch of the great tree that is the Mabinogi. In our next episode, we begin a brand new story with the second branch of the Mabinogi.
Well, that was amazing. What an incredible story. I can't wait for the next one. Ooh. But I will give our listeners a tip.
Eh?
Mm.
What?
Mm. Make sure you have tissues with you for the next one.
Ah.
Mm.
So,
a great introduction to our next story episode.
Mm-hmm.
So in this show, tell me, you want any listener feedback?
Actually, yes, we do. We had a fantastic email from Marco in New Mexico. He says,
I discovered your show a few months ago. While I'm not Gaelic, to the best of my knowledge, I find the tales, and especially your retelling, fascinating. I finished the invasion stories and have found a common theme among all the episodes. Drink. Beer and mead. Have you done any episodes on drinks in the past? I think that would be a great show. I brew at home and I would love to try my hand at an old recipe. So it'd be neat if the community could find something. Just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marco. And I think you're right. There are so many references to how important Celtic hospitality is within the tales, and they all involve food and drink in one form or another. The same could be said for today. Food and drink is very much involved in Celtic hospitality.
That's the centre, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you, Marco. And no, we haven't done a show specifically on Celtic drink yet, but it's a good idea. I know that you wrote a post on Facebook just recently about how important beer was to the Celts. I don't think there was a recipe given there, was there?
No, there wasn't. But I have seen several attempts at reconstruction by both the brewing and the archaeological communities, and a show, or at least a blog about these recipes, could be fascinating. Let me do some research, Marco, and see what I can find, and maybe we can find a recipe for you.
That'd be brilliant. Let's see what the future holds. And why not raise a glass to our ancestors next time you make a brew, Marco? Many thanks again.
So before we play our piece of music to wind the show down to a close, have you got a promo for us?
I have. There's a really fascinating podcast called The Cups Podcast, which covers all sorts of pagan topics, interviews and lectures by some well-known speakers.
Sounds interesting. Let's have a listen.
Now, while the host for your program has stepped away for a moment, I'd like to tell you about the Cups Podcast, which is produced by the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans. It comes out once or twice a month and features interviews, lectures, and sermons from all over North America and occasionally from across the pond. Since the beginning of 2010, we've featured speakers like Margot Adler, Michael York, Phaedra Bonowitz, as well as the finalists of our first ever Pagan Sermon Contest. If you'd like to check this out, just go over to iTunes and type in Cups, that's C-U-U-P-S, into the search bar, and it'll show you a link to subscribe to the podcast. Or you can download it directly from the podcast website, which is at cups.libsyn.com. Either way will get you access to the program that we hope you'll enjoy. I'm host for the Cups Podcast, David Pollard, wishing you best of blessings, and, well, I'll hush up now, because the host for your program's back and ready to roll.
Thank you, David. We'll have all the details in the show notes.
Sounds fab. Is it time for our piece of music yet?
No, I think it is. What have you got for us?
Well, you know that Samhain, or Halloween, was the time of the new year for the ancient Celts.
Well, that's right, yeah, as far as we know. Death of the old year, birth of the new.
And as this episode is likely to be released around Samhain this year, I thought it might be nice to celebrate the turning of the wheel with a track from the lovely Blanche Rowan and Mike Golston called Welcome in Another Year.
Now that sounds good. Let's have a listen.
Fire. Now the seasons turn, welcome in another year and let the old one burn. Build up the bonfire, light the candles bright, all the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight.
Light the bonfire, another year has flown, gather friends around you, don't spend the night alone. Out the courtyard to greet the coming year. Lay a handsome table, your visitors are here.
Build up the bonfire, now the seasons turn. Welcome in another year and let the old
the candles bright. All the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight. Here come your sorrows, all your old regrets, every broken promise and every unpaid debt. Perched on your shoulders, yearning toward the flame, pour them a glass of whiskey and greet them all by name. Build up the bonfire, now the seasons turn. Welcome in another year and let the old one burn. Build up the bonfire, light the candles bright. All the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight. Now make them welcome, offer them release, offer them atonement and pray they may find peace. Give them your blessing, but do not let them stay. Beat on the cans and the pots and pans and send them on their way. Build up the bonfire, now the seasons turn. Welcome in another year and let the old one burn. Build up the bonfire, light the candles bright. All the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight. Build up the bonfire, now the seasons turn. Welcome in another year and let the old one burn. Build up the bonfire, light the candles bright. All the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight. Build up the bonfire, now the seasons turn. Welcome in another year and let the old one burn. Build up the bonfire, light the candles bright. All the hungry spirits will be coming by tonight. Coming by tonight. Coming by tonight. Coming by.
That was Blanche Rowan and Mike Gulston with their superb track, Welcome in Another Year, from their album, The Dance Goes On. The album is superb and it takes us through all of the seasons of the year.
Yes, it's a lovely album full of medieval mystery and magic. You can find all the details in the show notes for this episode. Now, do we have anything else for our wonderful listeners?
Oh yes. Yeah, we've got to announce the winner of our competition for the Duncarron hoodie.
Oh yes, of course. In our last episode, we asked you if you could name the lovely pooch belonging to Charlie from the Clanranald Trust and Shore Patrol. He's often seen gazing at the burgers at Duncarron. And I was talking about the pooch, not Charlie.
And the answer was Odin. And the winner is... Oh, can I do the drum roll thing again?
No, I don't think so. I think twice is a bit much, don't you?
Oh.
Maybe a fanfare.
Yes! Right, okay. The winner is... Helen from the UK. Many congratulations, Helen.
Yes, congratulations, Helen. That hoodie will be winging its way to you.
Before we go, I'd like to send out a shout of thanks to Rain Cloud, Battery Discharger, Jengalil, and Ariel from the Druidic Craft of the Wise podcast for their superb reviews on iTunes. They all keep us going. Thank you so much.
Now, I can't think of anything else, so unless you've got something...
Well, I thought I'd do a dance for them.
No,
shall I do a dance?
You don't want to see him dance, really. You don't.
Shall I dance?
You don't. It's a torture. Don't. You don't want to see him dance.
No. All right, I give it, and then we really have come to an end.
Good, good. In that case, very quickly, we'll wish you many blessings before he changes his mind, and say, "Hoorah!" Cool.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us an email or some voice feedback to Gary and Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. You can find them at www.sfhounds.com. We'd also like to say a massive thank you to Amrus, Kira, Celia, Dave the Bar, the Dolman, Keltoria, Kevin Skinner,
Phil Thornton, S.J. Tucker, and Spiral Dance. All of these wonderful friends are giving us unrestricted access to their music. More details about each of them can be found in the special Friends of the Show page on our website.
You'll find links to all of these wonderful artists in the show notes at shownotes.celticmythpodshow.com.